Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Coming to you from an undisclosed broadcast location. One voice, delivering truth and pain. Presented by Guns.com. Trusted by millions of gun owners nationwide. This is Lock and Load with Bill Frady.
Hour number three. From the Guns.com radio studio, this is Lock and Load. This portion of the show is brought to you by DeSantis. Check them out at DeSantisHolster.com. As we do, if I can, I always like to end the week with some storytelling. And about the best storyteller out there today, as far as in the gun culture for me, is Dean Weingarten. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, Bill. Glad to be here.
Yes, sir. I want to hear about Old Groner.
Oh, it's a wonderful story. And to understand what the myth, as it became a legend, of Old Groner, you have to know that the legend and the myth of Old Groner is intimately tied up with the history of the Alaska Sportsman magazine. And the Alaska Sportsman magazine was started in the middle of the Depression in Ketchikan, Alaska, in 1935. And the very first edition was January of 1935. But it's the middle of the Depression. It's not exactly the best time to start a business. And so the magazine really struggled. And it only managed to get out six editions in 1935, out of a plan, dozens. But then something of an economic miracle happened, and somebody decided to give this struggling magazine a loan in 1935. And they told their subscribers that they would get all the editions that they were due, and they started publishing more articles, and it started to build up. But the eighth edition of the Alaska Sportsman magazine was in February of 1936. Now, the story of Old Groner really starts in 1933. But what happened, I'm going to give you what happened first at the end of things, was that in early November of 1935, when Alaska Sportsman was struggling, at the upper reaches of the Yunuk River in southeastern Alaska, and that's not very far from Ketchikan, it's about 75 miles from Ketchikan, Bruce Johnstone, who was a well-known prospector, trapper, and logger, and he was in his early 30s at that time, and he's up in the Yunuk, and they're prospecting for gold. And on their way up to the prospecting fields, they camped overnight. And on the way down, they camped in 1935. And they had a prospect there, and he shot a near-world-record grizzly bear in self-defense. The bear had been shot in the head previously, but had survived and healed. And it left the skull deformed, and the bear was blind on the right side. So when this, they cut off the head because it was so big and unusual and deformed, and one of the paws, and they brought those back, well, the head back to Ketchikan. And F.W. Gabler interviewed Bruce Johnson and wrote the original Old Groner story that was published in the February of 1936 issue of Alaska Sportsman. Now, you have to understand that it takes a while in older days to put a magazine together, especially a print one on paper that you send out from the post office to your subscribers. So the event where Old Groner was shot happened in November of 1935, And so the interview with F.W. Gabler almost certainly happened in either late November or December. And then they had to put the photographs and everything together for the story for the magazine that was published in February of 1936. So Johnson and Gabler were both longtime residents of the Catskin area. And they probably knew each other pretty well. Gabler had written a story for the very first Alaskan Sportsman, and he wrote several stories that were well received. And in this original story about Old Groner, there were several photographs. There was an illustration that was drawn by Gabler about the dramatic event where just before the bear was shot, there were photographs of the bear's head and the front paw and several angles of the skull showing where bullets were found. And this was the start. And then while Gabler indulged in speculation about the event where the bear had been wounded previously, several years before Bruce Johnstone shot it, he speculated about what the bear was thinking. But that's the speculation. There were also facts that were reported. And the event was recent, just a couple of months. And the physical evidence was fresh. It was right there. They had the skull. And Bruce Johnstone, who did the shooting, was there. And he reportedly had an excellent memory. So, unfortunately, the last article that Gabler wrote for the Alaska Sportsman was only about 6 months after he wrote the Old Groner story. And while I do not know what happened, I know, well, that was almost a year later, I should say, but his wife died about 6 months later, tragically, after the Old Groner story, and then his last article still appeared about 6 months after that, and then he just disappeared, other than a notice that he died, you know, quite a few years later. But he just didn't write anymore after about a year after the Old Groner story. So the Old Groner story circulated from the Alaska Sportsman on this early edition, which there probably were very few copies that were actually published. And it circulated around the campfires, near wood stoves, and, you know, fishermen and hunters and trappers all told about it. It was probably got embellished a little bit, as tends to happen with adventure stories that are circulated around the campfire. Well, then H.W. Handlogger Jackson, who was a very good writer, but he was also a famous outdoorsman and sportsman in the Catskin area. He probably knew Gabler. I'm sure he knew the editor of the Alaskan Sportsman because he said so in his biography. And he'd been given assignments by the editor. And he was married to Bruce Johnston's older sister, Ruth. Now, why Gabler wrote the original story instead of Jackson, we don't know. Jackson was often gone from Catskin making a living logging, as that's what he did. And it's detailed in his great biography. So it's possible he just wasn't available. So I became interested in the story as part of my research on how effective pistols are in defense against bears. And this story about Old Groner, the mythology and the legend of it, just kept popping up and popping up in searches that I would do about bears and pistol defenses against bears. And in the legend, it was often said that Old Groner had been shot with a pistol and hadn't been effective. But in the original story, there isn't any mention about a pistol.
Hang on right there. Hang on right there. We're going to pick this up on the other side when we get back. This article, the title of it is Old Groner, Alaska Myth About a Bear and a Pistol Defense. This was published yesterday. It's right there at amaland.com. This is one of my favorite types of genres that Dean writes about, in addition to over 2,000 other articles that he's written. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
We'll be right back.
podcast, we have what it takes to reinvent yourself. With a curriculum designed to balance work, family, and a gun repair education, MGS provides the gateway into one of the fastest growing segments of the gun industry. Modern Gun School's mission is to provide high quality distance education using time tested materials and hands on projects designed to develop a proficiency in both the technique and the business of gunsmithing. Go to MGS.edu. MGS Trade School. Your future is waiting.
For over 25 years, Arrow Precision has paved the way as a leading manufacturer of American-made AR parts. Arrow Precision caters to the rifle builder by engineering quality receivers, handguards, and other essential parts. Arrow Precision's added enhancements create a smooth build process from start to finish for beginners and seasoned builders.
Whether this is your first rifle or your 50th,
Arrow Precision offers everything you need to make a quality AR at an affordable price.
In the 1800s, there were 160 spas set up in Europe to dispense fresh liquid whey. The sick would recover their health and the aged would become rejuvenated. There's only one whey protein powder on the market that can generate and surpass the results seen in the whey spas in Europe. But first, let me tell you the story of 90-year-old Mary, who was semi-bedridden and in hospice care. Mary had been consuming only a pea protein and pasteurized milk drink. Then Mary was put on to Green Meadow whey mixed with raw milk. She was given 2 to 3 whey drinks per day. On the very first day, Mary was up and came into the kitchen and made chicken soup. She was on her feet for many hours. 3 days later, Mary had gained 2.5 pounds of healthy weight. Green Meadow Whey is health-giving to both young and old. Green Meadow Whey is guaranteed to make you feel better, stronger, reduce your inflammation, and eliminate virtually all toxins from your body without feeling sick. To order, go to bestwayprotein.net. That's bestwayprotein.net. Or call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only 2 documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Jose works on a farm. Safety is important. His boss calls 811 to determine where it's okay to dig. This protects Jose from hitting an underground line and from serious injury. Because Jose can't tell exactly where or how deep the lines are, he doesn't dig until 811 tells him it's safe. The most important thing is that Jose works safe and goes home to his family. For more information, visit farmsafe811.org. A message from the Pipeline Operators for Ag Safety Campaign.
Guns.com radio studio. This is Lock and Load. This portion of the show is brought to you by DeSantis. Check them out, DeSantisHolster.com. Talking with Dean Weingarten, and we're talking about Old Groner,
right? And the and how it became, how Old Groner in the story became a myth.
Oh.
And what happened? One of the things is that this early edition, the February 1936 edition of Alaska Sports, is very hard to find. It's extremely rare. if you have one, it's probably worth upward of $1,000, highly collectible. And it took me over 2 years to be able to track down an edition. And I have to give some credit to Susan Summer of Alaska Magazine, which, you know, inherited the rights to Alaska Sportsman, and I got permission to get a copy of the article. And then Diane Fermani of the Wasilla Public Library, they were able to find a copy of the original 1936 article, and then I was able to get images of that article to actually get it. So it took a lot of digging to find this original article. And it's 5 pages long, pages 16 to 19 and then 28. And there's there's good illustrations and pictures, so it's not really a super long article.
Right.
But I'm going to give you a pared down account of what the 36 article said. In 1933, Johnson and his brother Jack, Bruce Johnson and Jack, prospected on the upper rivers of the Unic. They camped at Cripple Creek, which is about halfway up the river, and they heard the weird groaning sound. And they didn't know what it was. They couldn't figure it out. And they finally decided that it was a large bear. And they heard the bear crashing through the brush. And there were a lot of bear tracks, but they never saw this bear. And then Gabler talks a lot about speculation about what happened to the bear and its psychology. And I don't spend too much time on that. But in the speculation about the original encounter where old Groner was wounded, the person who shoots old Groner fires 3 shots. And then Gabler says old Groner is particularly dangerous because he was wounded at one time. But there's a sort of counterfactual thing in the story, and that is old Groner is very careful not to be seen by people. People hear him. They hear him crashing in the brush. They see his tracks, but they never see the bear itself. And Gabler also talks about just how incredibly dangerous the Unic River was. It's a very fast river, a lot of rapids, and it's easy, he says, for people, especially somebody traveling by themselves, to get killed in an accident. So they hear this bear groaning in 1933, and then when they go up again in 1935 later, we find out they also went up 34. But nobody sees it. They just hear this weird groaning, often at night, mostly at night. So, in the last days as they were prospecting in 1935, they decided to stop at Cripple Creek on the way down, which they didn't always do. And they had a prospect claim there they wanted to do a little work on. And while they're there, they hear old Groner, and then they separate the two men, Bruce's brother Jack and their friend, go off somewhere to do something, and Bruce and the dog Slasher, it was a big husky kind of dog, I think it was might have been a German Shepherd, and he's working on the claim, setting up a post, and Slasher growls and jumps, and here's this huge bear coming at him, and Slasher has alerted Bruce just fast enough so that Bruce could grab his rifle and shoot this charging grizzly at really close range, I mean feet. And he shoots the first shot, makes it veer a little bit, and then he gets another shot into it as it's going past him, and then it's down on the ground trying to get up, and he fires the last shot, a finisher, right through the brain, killing it dead right there. And apparently, the bear had a deformed head. And in the article, Bruce just says he heard the bear groan and thus identified it as old Groner. And just before the last shot in this first story, Bruce notices a second bear, which Slasher is fighting with. And then the dog, Slasher, drives off the second bear. Bruce heads back to camp because it's getting late and he shot his last round of ammunition. and Slasher joins. And they arrive and talk to the two friends, his brother and the friend that was with him, George Lemon. And they, but it's late in the day, and so they decide to leave the dead bear for the next day. And Bruce's rifle is identified in the story as a Winchester 38-72. So, the next morning they go to skin the bear, but it's November in Alaska, and the bear has frozen overnight. And that makes skinning the bear very difficult.
Wow.
Not impossible, so they cut off the head and one front paw to take back with them. And then, when they skin out the head later on, they discover that the bear had been shot before. I mean, the bear's head was deformed, but you couldn't tell what had caused it initially. And the whole right eye socket has been smashed. The back of the right jaw is smashed. Most of the teeth are gone or decayed. And then in the back of the right jaw, embedded in the bone that had regrown, they find two old jacketed rifle bullets, which they decide, and remember these are outdoorsmen who've been around rifles a lot, and they decide these bullets were 33 caliber jacketed rifle bullets. And they, and this is all described in the article, and there are photographs that shows where they found the bullets, and, it also, says that the right eye arch, you know, was shot away, but in the, captions of the photographs, unfortunately, they say the left eye arch was shot away. But if you look at the skull, and we still have the skull, the article that I wrote, I got permission from the Tongass Museum in Ketchikan, and they took a photograph of the skull. They took several photographs of the skull for me so I could use them in this article.
Wow,
you look at
okay.
The skull, and you look at the skull, and the left eye arch is intact. It's never been hit by a bullet. It's right there. I mean, you can look at it. There's no question. It was not smashed. I think maybe that somebody who wasn't real familiar with bear skulls,
right?
There's an arch, and there's a gap in the arch that's just natural to bear skulls. And I think maybe they thought that was where a bullet had shot away part of it.
Well, hang on for me. We're coming up on the break. Hang on. We'll hear about the rest of the bear skull when we get back. Dean has 2,000 plus other articles at Amaland as well. Some not like this one, some very much like this one. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
Holster.com, the home of DeSantis quality-built American-made products for 45-plus years. Supporting police and government contracts from first responders to responsible citizens. Holster.com is your source for quality American-made leather and kydex holster for the armed American. For concealed carry or open carry, Holster.com has what you need.
We didn't invent concealment.
We perfected it. Go to Holster.com now and buy a DeSantis holster today.
At Spikes Tactical, we are all shooters with a very simple mission. Make the best product we can perfect at the best possible price for our consumers. We strive to produce the best components and rifles available, with quality control second to none, because real-world events don't allow for a second chance. Whether you are an operator, competitor, or home defender, Spikes Tactical will serve you well. Go to SpikesTactical.com. Spikes Tactical, 100% American-made to the highest standard.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer is expecting a big veterans aid bill to pass later on Tuesday. Schumer is saying Democrats and Republicans have agreed to vote on some amendments, and he's confident about final passage of the bill. Amendment or no amendment, Republican Senator from Arkansas Tom Cotton says he's a yes vote.
If the Toomey Amendment fails, I will still vote on passage of this bill as I did in June. I think the vast majority of Republicans will do so as well.
President Biden is still testing positive for COVID and his cough has returned. That's according to the latest update from his doctor. Despite that, Dr. Kevin O'Connor says Biden continues to feel well. He added the president's lungs are clear. The president signing the CHIPS and Science Act into law Tuesday. USA Radio News. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi landed in Taiwan late Tuesday evening local time despite continued threats from China. When asked about the White House's concern over the speaker's trip, Wisconsin Republican Congressman Mike Gallagher says the Biden administration is fearful of provoking China.
So risk-averse, we're afraid of provoking the Chinese Communist Party. We put ourselves in a straitjacket, and it's constricted our ability to think creatively, to move aggressively.
That audio courtesy of Fox News, Nancy Pelosi is the highest-ranking U.S. official to visit the island of Taiwan since 1997. With less than 100 days to go before the midterms, voters in a handful of states are heading to the polls. They'll decide primary elections in Arizona, Kansas, Michigan, Missouri, and Washington. Rough day on Wall Street. At the closing bell, the Dow losing 402 points. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Did you know that you could easily be saving up to 90% on your taxes by simply making a phone call? That's right, the Fortune 500, the globalists, all the big billionaires and millionaires, they know about the loopholes written into the law where most of them pay almost zero tax. In fact, many of them pay no tax. You even see it on the news. How are they able to do that, but the common person can't? So whether you're a school teacher, a lawyer, a scientist, a millionaire, a billionaire, or whether you're just a regular blue-collar worker, everybody should learn about the legal, lawful loopholes. And we've got an organization and a group that I am so proud to be working with, American Tax Solutions. GCN has a special deal with them to get you the best rates. Here's the most important part. They save you money and then get part of the savings. This is an absolute win-win solution. You've got to give them a call at 855-907-4841 or GCNTaxCut.com. That's GCNTaxCut.com. The only way you miss out is not making the phone call. Make it now.
Radio studio. This is Lock and Load. This portion of the show is brought to you by DeSantis. Check them out at DeSantisHolster.com. We are talking to Dean Weingarten. We've been talking about the story of Old Groner. Is it? I don't know if it's legend or myth or fact.
It has become the original one. I think was mostly factual. But because of events that will become clearer, as I've got four parts to this series. This is the first one. So there's three more in the works. They're all finished. They're just waiting for a proper time to be published. But as I mentioned, there was an error in the description of the skull in the first article where they say that the left eye arch was blown away or shattered, and it wasn't. It was intact. But Gabler, when he wrote the story, did not say the left eye arch was damaged. He accurately described the damage to the skull. And he mentions that the cranium shattered on the left side and where the fatal bullet is embedded. And it's all consistent with the skull as it exists today and with the early pictures of the skull. So, when the people who were at the event, well, when we have, what we have is Gabler's description, of them talking, and they're talking about it, and one says, wow, that bear is really tough. How can a creature survive with half its skull blown away? And he says, wow, and look at the teeth. They're almost all decayed. Probably had a toothache all the time. And then they talk about the bullets they found in the skull, where they found two 33 caliber jacketed bullets. And Bruce, in this alleged talk between the fellows at the campsite, says, oh, you remember there was a guy named Jeff Sethington who came up here 12 years ago. Wasn't he packing a 33? He never came out. And that's all the mention there is of it. And they say, gee, I wonder, maybe he had something. Maybe he was the guy who shot the bear. There's no mention of a pistol. There's no mention of pistol bullets. There's just that brief mention of Jeff Sethington. So they measure the bear skull back in Ketchikan, and measuring it, if the part of the skull that had been shot away by those rifle bullets was there, it would have been a world record. But it wasn't, so it wasn't. So it was a huge bear, and which is not uncommon for that area because the Unisk is a big salmon river, and when grizzly bears get lots of fish to eat, they become Alaskan brown bears, essentially, and they become huge. And that's probably what it was. And this bear was so old and beat up and had almost no teeth, it's really questionable whether it would have lasted another winter. But instead, Bruce was attacked. Bruce was attacked when he had the dog with him, and they managed to survive, and they got the skull back to Ketchikan, and it became an incredible story. And where the next episode picks up is where the story was rewritten by Handlager Jackson in 1953. And that's where the mythology really takes off. So we'll have to wait till that one gets published.
It's an interesting story. We don't know. Now, I was curious about one thing that I heard earlier when you started explaining this. They discussed what the bear was thinking.
Yeah, it's a fascinating. I'm reading it, and I'm thinking, wow, you know, this is kind of, how do you know what this bear's thinking? But apparently, it was a fairly common thing, and it's done by a lot of outdoorsmen as they become accomplished. They personify animals because they try to understand how the animals are thinking, what they're likely to do next. So they, you know, they say, well, this is what he was considering and that. And it actually works pretty well. I've known a lot of accomplished outdoorsmen, and they usually try to get inside of an animal's head. Well, you know, this deer, he's heading in this direction. There's a bunch of oak trees over there. He's probably going to browse among the acorns for a while. And then he's probably going to want to lay up and just chew the cud underneath these pine trees over on that ridge over there. That's the type of thing that often people who are experts in animal behavior will do. I think it's taken to extremes in this, in the early articles about old Groner, but it's not uncommon for sportsmen who have a lot of experience outdoors to try to get inside animals' heads and figure out their motivations. Real hard to do with bears because everybody says bears are really difficult to predict what they're going to do. He said, one quote I remember is a person said, you can't predict what a bear is going to do. He doesn't know what he's going to do in the next 30 seconds.
Yeah. That was interesting. How do we have any, did they put out any sort of, was this a gigantic bear? What made old?
Yes, it was a world record bear. Now, it turns out that I believe there is a picture of old Groner, but it's in a rare book. I found it. It'll get published in a future article. And it's a big bear. There's no question. And his skull was deformed, and he was blind in the right eye. So it was a very large grizzly, and no doubt dangerous. And it did attack Bruce Johnstone and the dog that was with him, Slasher, which it turns out was probably belonged to his brother, but since they were together so often, it probably didn't make that much difference.
Right.
So, let's see. We've got several other things we can talk about.
Well, let's start. We got a little bit before we go into the last break. So, let's look at the Dallas Love Field Airport shooting.
Yeah.
Open that up for me. We've got a couple of minutes. Let's get that started.
Okay. Well, the really interesting thing about this shooting, in my opinion, is that it was all videotaped very clearly. I mean, this is at the Dallas Love Field Airport on July 25th, 2022. And so they have cameras, surveillance cameras everywhere. And they catch this woman who did the shooting as she gets out of a red SUV Uber near to be dropped off at the airport. She gets out, and they track her, and she goes into a restroom, and then she comes out. And then she goes to the, I believe it's the Southwest ticket area, near there. And then she pulls out a pistol and starts shooting it. I think she yelled a few things before she shot the pistol. We don't have audio in the video. But you see a Dallas police officer start moving in her general direction. And he's only about 20 feet from her when she pulls out this pistol and starts and fires some shots into the air. So it's an extremely well-documented case. And you can see just about everything in the video. Now, it's not all perfect resolution, but the resolution is not bad when you consider that this is an extraordinary crime in process. And the person's name is Portia Odufua. I may be mispronouncing it. And she has quite a record with the law. She's been arrested several times for fairly serious crime. But in each case, she was released as not being mentally competent to stand trial. So she has some mental issues, and she's not allowed to legally possess firearms because of her prior criminal history and mental issues. And she got a hold of a semi-automatic pistol. We don't know, you know, where. It wasn't through a federal firearm dealer, apparently, because in the last few years she was turned down. She was denied purchase of a firearm.
Hang on for me.
That record.
Hang on for me. We'll be right back talking to Dean Weingarten. This is Lock and Load.
To give you a life-changing URL that if you will simply visit it and give these tax consultants a call, it will change your life. Whether you're a blue-collar worker or whether you're a school teacher or whether you're a scientist or whether you're a millionaire, almost no one out there is taking advantage of legal, lawful tax loopholes. Go to GCNTaxCut.com. It takes you right to American Tax Solutions, and they will give you an amazing preview of what they can do for you. GCNTaxCut.com, GCNTaxCut.com.
No matter if supply lines are down, product deliveries are slow, and that most everything costs more these days, you still have neck and shoulder pain, right? Good news. Sunny Bay has new products that target neck and shoulder pain. Products that are in stock now, ready to ship anywhere now. Like our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. You can heat them in a microwave oven, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. And for stress relief, get our lavender scented hands free neck wraps. Or maybe you need one of our smaller lower back wraps. Great for seniors. Again, there's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find our new products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay neck wraps. All our products are great for men or women, are reusable and easy to clean. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay neck wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast. From Sunny Bay.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish? GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA insist on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Last time on The Firing Line from the Guns.com radio studio, this is Lock and Load. This portion of the show is brought to you by DeSantis. Check him out at DeSantisHolster.com. We're talking to Dean Weingarten. We were just talking about the Dallas Love Field Airport shooting. I don't know if there's some other stuff you want to add to that before we move on.
Yes, there is some stuff, because it is... You can see everything that happens in the video, and the video was released by the Dallas Police Department, and there's a link to it at MLN for those who want to see it. And what happens is that she pulls out this pistol and starts shooting the Dallas police officers. I'm guessing it's hard to get the scale precise in the video, but about 20 feet from her. And he's surprised by the shot, and he backpedals a few feet and gets behind cover while drawing his pistol, and within 5 seconds he's returning fire, and 9 seconds after the first shot is fired, she is down on the ground, on the floor. So it's a very quick response, and I think he acted quite responsibly. And it reminded me of Jack Wilson in the White Settlement Church incident, where Jack was faced with this stranger who came into the church who pulled a shotgun out from under his jacket, and one of the church defenders, all volunteers, is trying to draw a few shots with the shotgun, and then the guy with the shotgun shoots another parishioner who's not armed, and by this time, Jack has drawn his pistol and he's trying to get a good shot, and within just a few seconds of the first shot, it might be less than three, Jack makes a very difficult shot at distance on the fellow who's doing the shooting, and the killing is stopped right there. And then we have Eli Dickens at the recent Greenwood Park Mall event, where the guy comes out of the restroom with a rifle and starts killing people immediately, and he kills three before Eli is able to respond, and Eli responds in about 15 seconds and connects with 8 of 10 shots from a distance and stops the killing then. And these just contrast very sharply with what we saw with the police response at Uvalde, Texas, where it's, in my opinion, poorly led and confused police mill around for about 77 minutes, unable to determine who's in charge, unable to make a real decision, and 21 people are killed by this rampage murderer, 19 children and 2 teachers. And what we see is there wasn't any armed defender inside the scene at Uvalde. In the White Settlement Church, at the Love Field Airport, at the Greenwood Park Mall, the armed defenders were all inside the scene. They saw what was happening. They were right there. They immediately responded. And even though people were killed, three at the Greenwood Park Mall, two at the White Settlement Church, and none at the Love Airport, they stopped the killing in the low numbers. Whereas in Uvalde, you had 21 people killed because there wasn't anybody inside the scene who reacted immediately with deadly force and knew that they had to act because they were right inside the situation. And this shows us that you need somebody that's right there. And the way to achieve that is with lots of armed people who know they have to defend themselves and others. And in Indiana, for example, about 15% of the adults now have concealed carry permits. And anybody else who wants to carry can carry under constitutional carry in Indiana. And there was, in fact, another defender inside the Greenwood Park Mall, but he was the first person shot. He had apparently had a concealed pistol, but never got a chance to use it because just as he's starting to go into the bathroom from probably no more than, well, about 10 feet, the killer is coming out, and immediately as he sees him, he fires at him, shoots him several times, and kills him. But Eli was there, you know, a ways away. Those shots alerted him. He drew, got behind cover, and shot the killer, stopping the death of other innocent people. So that's what I wanted to add. As
sure.
It shows how important it is to have somebody who's willing to react, and it's right there.
Well, you know, and of course the anti-gunners are never going to get that part of it. They just...
Because it totally destroys their narrative.
So, to shift a little bit, there's an opportunity right now to go pick up some inexpensive guns in Wisconsin, huh?
Well, some of them might be very expensive guns. I say cheap guns because it will cost very little to get them because the people who are wanting to turn them into police probably have no idea what they're worth. And since they were only going to give them up to the police for, say, $50, if you offer them $100, they may well, sell you that Model 27 357 Magnum that Grandpa had, and they have no idea what it's worth for, you know, $100. And that makes it a pretty cheap gun. This is the first gun turn-in event. I don't like to call them buybacks because that is an Orwellian term. They aren't really buying back guns because they never owned the guns before. And so they've allocated $50,000 to buy guns from people who are willing to turn them into police in Madison, Wisconsin. It's going to happen from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on August 13th. I think that's a Saturday. And they're trying to set things up to make it difficult for private purchasers to buy the guns. So the people who want to purchase guns privately, they're going to have to be a little inventive and innovative. Maybe they can set up at the entrances to this Alliance Energy Center, which is by the Coliseum there in Madison, for those who know the area. There's a big, like, event sort of park with limited access to it, and that's where that's called the Alliant Energy Center, and that's where they're going to have the people turn in their guns. But they only have, of that 50,000, only about 38,000 is available to buy guns because 12,000 goes for overhead and overtime for the police and sheriff's department. They say they are offering $250 for assault rifles, $200 for ghost guns. I have a typo. I'm trying to fix that in the article. $100 for rifles, shotguns, and pistols, but only $50 for revolvers. As you know, there's a lot of expensive revolvers out there. I wonder if somebody's going to turn in an old original single-action army that's worth about $3,000 or $4,000 or something like that. They might, and they'll only allow a maximum of 4 guns to be accepted per person. So when I've seen these events in other areas, I was at one in Milwaukee in 2014, the private buyers generally do pretty well. And what often happens is they run out of money long before the event is scheduled to end. And then the people who are coming in good faith to turn in Grandpa's Auto 5 Browning shotgun that he used to hunt pheasants with. And Madison is a big hunting area. A lot of pheasant hunting, a lot of deer hunting around Madison. So the guns that people inherited 20 years ago may be classic firearms. And so the, you know, when he's going to turn this shotgun in and he wants to get rid of it, and the police aren't giving out gift cards anymore, if somebody offers him $100, he's pretty likely to take it. And so we will see. I've seen some very nice guns be picked up at these events. Now, there's also a fair number of, you know, old guns that are marginal, that are difficult to repair. Heck, I turned a couple of old 22s that I couldn't easily repair for $100 a piece back in when Phoenix had their last turn-in event, and we haven't had any since then. But, so, and the other thing is the major purpose that I can discern for these events, because the academics overwhelmingly say they do nothing to prevent crime or suicides. In fact, the best research on it shows that there's a little bit of an uptick in crime with guns right after these events. The major purpose seems to be propaganda. You know, spread the message. Guns are bad. Turn them into police. When private buyers are there, they destroy that message, and their message is, guns are good. I give cash.
We have run out of time. I was too busy listening to the story, Dean. Thank you for joining me.
It's always a pleasure.
Yes, sir. Back again on Monday. It's never been about gun control. It's always been about total control. This has been Lock and Load.
At Chambers Custom, we have one job. We strive to build the most obsessively reliable, accurate, and beautiful pistols for the discriminating gun owner. Using the ageless 1911 design with a 21st century approach to each part and component, Chambers Custom meticulously begins each pistol as a standalone project, creating a bespoke, handcrafted, peerless firearm. They integrate all of the internal, external, and intrinsic elements that make a custom 1911 unique. Go to ChambersCustom.com. Chambers Custom, truly the mechanical advantage.
What's in a name? If that name is Ace Firearms, you've just entered a very expensive business. First, a fully appointed gun shop with all the guns, ammo, and accessories you could possibly imagine. But then you enter the manufacturing facility that is home to Red Alligator Concealment, Militia Arms Customs, and so much more. Ace Firearms is beyond a simple gun shop. This is a totally peerless operation. To find out more, go to acefirearms.com. Ace Firearms. This is only the beginning.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.